Jesus Christ, the righteous, came forward. And he gave his name in full public view. And he gave his life in view of the multitude on Calvary. He gave his life for your salvation. And he purchased a lost and dying mankind. I want you to know I'm really getting to love Boaz. And the more that I read, the more that I love Boaz. We're in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 1. And just quickly, we'll go through this. There was a famine in the land of Israel, and they had some problems there. And the problems was there was no food. God had promised his people that if they didn't do right, he would send them some famines. And it would be a time where they could get right with him. Instead of staying and facing the judgment of God, Elimelech took his family and went to Moab. Now, they stayed in Moab longer than they wanted to or intended to, and some things happened there that they did not expect, so much so that Elimelech died. Now, their two sons married women in Moab, and they were all hunkered down to live there, and all of a sudden they also died. God was bringing the family, what was left of it, just Naomi and these two daughter-in-laws, widows, all three, back to Bethlehem, back to Israel. Now, on the way, they had the meeting, and Naomi said, "Girls, there's nothing there for you. Go home. Go back and find a husband with your families, and may God give you peace. I won't hold it against you one bit." Orpha went back. Ruth says, "I am going with you no matter what." And she gave us that beautiful, "Where you go, I'm going, and where you lodge, I'm going to lodge, and your people be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, that's where they're going to bury me also. And if I don't fulfill that, God do more to me than what he's done with you." They arrive 100 miles on foot back in Bethlehem, Judea, kind of around the front side or the far side of the Dead Sea, about halfway down Moab, and they've walked on foot all the way back to cross the Jordan. They come into Bethlehem, Judea, and the whole, it's interesting, Rhoda told me she was in Bethlehem, and it's a little city. It's hundreds of years old. And it's still just a little city, this little town of Bethlehem, and news went through the town, whoop, in a minute. Naomi's back. And Elimelech's not with her, and Mahlon's not with her, and Chilion's not with her, but she has this foreign lady with her. Seems kind of odd to me. So it went through the whole town, and they established themselves. Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which is bitter. God has dealt harshly with me." And Ruth went to glean in the fields. And it was part of God's provision for the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that they could glean. Now that there's a time of plenty, all of the folks back in Bethlehem, all the folks in Israel are very aware of what it is like to go without food. And there's a bumper crop, and they're happy to share. Boaz takes notice of Ruth, asks her to work in his field. She works in through the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, about eight weeks or so in May, June. And the harvest is coming to an end. And Naomi sends Ruth down to the threshing floor. She goes to Boaz's feet, and she uncovers his feet, and she sleeps at his feet. He wakes up at midnight. He says, "What is this?" She says, "It's Ruth, thine handmaid." She's reminding him that he is a near kinsman. And Boaz has character and honor. He says, there's a closer kinsman than I. So stay till morning, and then if he'll redeem you, he's a good man with a good character, and he'll redeem you. If he will not, I will redeem you. So he measures out the six measures to Ruth. She puts him into her veil. The girls held out their aprons for the senior's dinner and said, is this enough to hold all the measures of wheat that Boaz gave to Ruth? I said, I'm not sure, because it was between 10 and 15 gallons, which I just started thinking about carrying 2 5-gallon buckets, if you can imagine. After a while, they get pretty heavy. When you pick them up, they weigh about 50 pounds apiece. And then after you carry them a mile, they weigh about 150 pounds apiece. So imagine it was a long trip back, but it was a blessing that Boaz gave those things to Ruth. And then all Ruth has to do is wait. And Naomi says, just let's wait. He will not let this day pass without conducting this business. So let's look in the Bible at Ruth chapter 4 and verse 1. And then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings we find in your word this morning. Father, we thank you for the beautiful picture, not only of the kinsman redeemer, but of the year of Jubilee, of your purpose for every family. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We ask for the Holy Spirit to have freedom this morning. We pray that the word of God will convict hearts, convince, and challenge. Father, that we would be a little more in the image of your dear son. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Boaz has went to the gate of the city. And this is alluded to in Proverbs 31, where it talks about the virtuous woman. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So this would be equal in our situation of going to a court. And the 10 men that he drawled aside and said, come over here and sit down and watch these proceedings. And this is done completely in the public eye. One time I went to court and I watched all the cases. And I had a case too. I had a traffic case. And after I went before the judge and had my case, most people go out the side door and leave. And I went back and I sat down. And I watched the rest of the cases, and they were keeping one case till last. And they wanted to do that case a little private. And they looked at me and they said, what are you doing? And I said, your honor, I'm just observing the court. You know, they wanted to kick me out of there in the worst way, but they could not do it because it was a public courtroom. And I sat there and I watched the case, where a guy that was working for the city, his son worked for the water department, and he had done something wrong, and they were going to give him another chance that most people would not have gotten. So I sat there and I watched this public case when everybody wished I would just have gotten out of there. Now, how many of you have some personal family stuff that you like to keep personal? Now, sometimes my family, sometimes they'll say during the week, Dad, is this going to make it in the message on Sunday? Could we not have this in the message? And sometimes their lives are a little more open book than they would like. But really, all of us live open and all things are naked before him that we have to do with God. I understand the idea of not wanting everything to be exactly public. But if you're going to take something to the gate of the city, and you're going to draw 10 of the elders aside and say, hey, come over here and sit down. We're going to talk about this. It is going to be a very public matter, especially in a small city like Bethlehem. Everyone's going to know about this by nightfall. There's no like, can you leave while we have this last case? No, and the fact that they're drawing some folks together and that they're going to conduct some business would draw a further crowd. Now, the 10 men was a quorum so that they could sit down and conduct business that would be validated. There's no need for a notary of the republic. There's no need for anything to be certified in that way. Once this is done, there's going to be human witnesses that will continue on. There's going to be other witnesses. This is going to be a done deal. Now, the Medes and the Persians would put the mark on everything. I remember when I first bought our house, first house, and we sat down to do a purchase agreement, and she said, well, James, what do you want to do? And I said, I just want us to go sit at a kitchen table and get a cup of coffee and talk with the owner and hash things out and come to an agreement. And she said, that's not the way it works. You're going to make an offer. We're going to put it on this paper, and they're going to look, they're going to give it to their agent, and they're going to take it to them, and they're going to look at it, and they're going to make a decision. So I've never heard anybody say anything like that. But this is the kitchen table thing. This is how it was taken care of in Israel and the elders of the land. So Boaz takes his case, goes and sits at the gate. It means he was a person that was respected and respectable, that he had the ability to go sit at the gate. And he sat at the gate, and his only single objective was looking for this other kinsman to fulfill his promise that he's made to Ruth. In verse 3, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. Now, based on some research and what Josephus says about this, that it was Boaz, Elimelech, and this Tob or Tobias, and they were three brethren, and Tobias was the oldest, so he would have the first responsibility. So Boaz sees a near kinsman. He calls him over. They sit down. And he says, Naomi, Elimelech's wife has come back from Moab, and she has a parcel of land, and she's going to sell it. Now, we know that based on the year of Jubilee, that this land would go back to Elimelech's relatives or offspring after the year of Jubilee. However, in this circumstance, there are no male relatives. And he knows that Naomi's come back and come back by herself. And Naomi has put a stipulation on the sale of this land. In verse 4, and I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Now, we already know that Naomi is giddy with joy to know that Boaz, their near redeemer, is the field where Ruth has gleaned all these months. Boaz has showed favor. He's given protection. He's shared provision. He's been kind to Ruth and to Naomi. And they have set their heart on having Boaz. And once you set your heart on having Boaz, it's not really very satisfying that this nearer kinsman comes in and he says immediately, I will buy it. This is amazing. Boaz is so cool here. And then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. So the nearer kinsman has the right to buy the land, but now they're getting a little more complicated. The day that you buy the land, you are going to have to buy it of Naomi, but also of Ruth, the wife of Mahlon. So the day that you buy the land, you have to buy it of Naomi and of Ruth. And if you buy it of Ruth, you're going to have to marry her and have a child to continue their family on. Can you imagine if I went to the store for a carton of eggs? And somebody stopped me at the front of the store, and we had some business, and I came home, and I had a carton of eggs plus another wife. And I sent you to the store for a carton of eggs, and you come back with a carton of eggs and another wife? How do you think that's going to go? Well, dear, it's right there in the law, and I need to fulfill this responsibility of the kinsman redeemer, and I'll have a son with this woman, and it'll be back to Naomi's family and back to Elimelech to raise up seed. And the kinsman, he said, sold. And as soon as he heard this second detail, he said in verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. I'll buy the land, and I'll have a little more land, and that would be nice, and we can keep it in our family forever. There's no male heir. But also he says, no, you're going to buy it of Naomi also, or of Ruth also, and you're going to raise up a child for the house of Elimelech. So this family that is dead, God has provided a way to give them life. Now, this is interesting to me. Boaz is going to buy this property. He's going to buy the property, and he's going to put real silver or gold in Naomi's hand for this property. Then he's going to marry Ruth. And then they're going to have a child, and he's going to place a real child in the hands of Naomi, in their family. This child is not going to be Boaz's child. This child is going to be Mahlon's child. And their family will continue to have a place in Israel, and they'll continue to hold their land that God gave them. And then the child's going to inherit the land. It sounds like Boaz is getting the short end of this deal. Now, the nearer kinsman says, oh, I can't redeem it. The Thumal tells us that he can't redeem it because he already has a wife. And if he goes home, he will not have marital bliss. It'll create conflict and it'll create trouble. And I was like, immediately he's like, oh, I can't do that. it'll mar his inheritance. Instead of enhancing his estate, he's going to have to find the money to pay for this land and give it to Naomi, and then he's going to will it to this first child. That's going to dilute everything he has to give his children he already has. He says, it's going to mar my inheritance. I'm going to go borrow or leverage or find a way to get the price of the land. And then it's not going to be mine in the end. I can't do it. Boaz, you can do it. Redeem it for yourself. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. You ever see somebody at an auction and they, oh, sold. Don't raise your hand at an auction or scratch your ear. You might have just bought something. There's going to be no danger of that here in Israel at the gate of Bethlehem. Have you ever accidentally taken your shoe off and gave it to someone in front of 10 or 12 witnesses? Pretty clear, right? You like the smell of that. Do you want to see it, Judy?
No.
Yes. I really did. And this shoe was passed around. These 10 guys, it was unmistakable what was going on. There was no going back and saying, you know what, I didn't really mean that, or I really didn't say that. It was public. It was a quorum of 10 men. And then as the people were coming in and out of the gate of the city to the marketplace, they would have observed this transaction taking place. And I heard the name Ruth, which is a celebrity status in Bethlehem. Everybody knows that she has been taking such good care of Naomi, and what a nice girl she is. And man, she come back and she could have stayed with her people, and she is in the synagogue every time there's worship, and she's following our God, and she is working every day, all day with in Boaz's fields. Oh, I wonder about that. And here's Boaz, and he's talking about Ruth. And he's got the other kinsmen around. You can't stop people from talking. Something happens in a little body or a little community, and everybody finds out about it and feels obligated to come up with an opinion. Whether they needed to have an opinion or not, they all got an opinion. Everybody's got a opinion about Caleb. Whether they need to or not. And everybody wanted to come and share their opinion with me about Caleb. And ask me what my opinion of Caleb was. Do you think Caleb's the right guy for Abby? I say, I think you're a little ahead of yourself. I don't even know if Caleb's a guy on Abby's radar, let alone the right guy for him. Well, let me see. Silently, her finger raises. And there the diamond blazes. Oh! Congratulations, Caleb. Everyone is interested in stuff like this. Right? I imagine everyone's so interested that some people might go, I wonder why Megan Wilson's here. I really don't know, so don't come and ask me. Boaz buys the land from Naomi, Boaz marries Ruth. Boaz has the son. And Boaz wills the land back to that son. He's taken the whole burden of everything upon himself. Why? Because he's a kinsman redeemer. And God has embedded the story of the kinsman redeemer in the Bible in the middle here. And it's for us to see how much he loves us. In verse 9, in verse 8, now therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, ye are witnesses this day I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Mahlon, or Chilion's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. And moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. We were lost. We were without help or hope in this world. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son Christ, who lived a perfect life on earth. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus, for his great love, where he loved mankind, he went to the cross despising the shame, but for the joy that was set before him. God loved man, he gave his Son. His Son gave his life. And purchased what? Salvation. And then God takes salvation and he gives it to us. I say, what was my part in the transaction? It is not of works, lest any man should boast. God said, I've redeemed you, you're mine. In 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Boaz purchases the land from Naomi to give back to her grandson. God purchases salvation to give back to as many as received him. I think we look at this and we see Ruth. Her name's brought up in the marketplace and everybody's head turns and everyone looks. And here's Boaz, the wealthy, powerful, honorable man. Boaz, incidentally, isn't married. And he goes to the marketplace and waits for the nearer kinsman. And he solidifies before the people his claim. God sent Jesus Christ, and he came to earth as a child. He grew up. He lived a perfect and a sinless life. He gave us the New Testament and the Scripture. We have the Gospels of his life. We can look and understand so much. But there's so much that we have no opportunity or look into to understand. And here we stand, and here is Jesus, and he's waiting to give his life for us, to redeem us unto himself, just as Boaz redeemed Ruth, but not here on earth, but for eternity. We don't like all this. He says, I have purchased Ruth the Moabitess to be my wife. Christ says, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I view us as insiders on this story of Ruth at this point. We've looked at everything that the Bible has to offer and much of what Jewish legend and tradition and history has to offer inside the look in the story of Ruth. You know, the kinsman redeemer is not mentioned ever. It's not mentioned in Jewish tradition. It's not mentioned in Jewish history. And it's not mentioned in the Bible. It's not. We have the speculation that it's this Tobias, but there's no certainty in that. Jesus Christ, the righteous, came forward, and he gave his name in full public view. And he gave his life in view of the multitude on Calvary. He gave his life for your salvation. And he purchased a lost and dying mankind. What do you think happened when the news got back to Naomi and Ruth? You know, they're just sitting and waiting in the house. Like, I wonder if they were biting their fingernails a little bit. I wonder if they were trying to do some busy work so that they wouldn't feel nervous. And they're waiting the hours away, seeing what's going to happen. And they come back with some news or, you know, there's always some neighbor that's first with everything. And the neighbor that's first with everything runs and goes, guess what? Boaz is down at the gate and he's passing his shoe around this very second. And like, how did you get back here all of a sudden? I don't know. The Lord gave me strength. And I had a good story to tell. My dad lived on the mountain in Tennessee, and there was no telephone. There was no cell phones. There was no telegraph. There was no form of communication. And there was this woman that lived on that mountain, Ursley Snart. And anything that happened on the whole mountain, 20 miles in every direction, she would spread it to the whole mountain. You know, another way of saying, go tell it on the mountain. Somebody ran back and burst into Ruth and Naomi and said, Boaz has purchased the land. Wink, wink. I think Boaz or Ruth and Naomi got it and they're like, oh man, we're really interested in that nearer redeemer. What do you think they were? What do you think the response was in their house? I bet they had a victory dinner that night. Bet they celebrated and contemplated when that Boaz would come back and they would continue their plans toward their wedding. There was rejoicing. There was thanksgiving. And then here, God is, and he's made his claim for mankind, and then he's made an offer of salvation, the gift of God. You go, you know what? I'll just think about it. That's kind of what we do in Moab. I don't know. Silly idea anyways. It seems crazy. Ruth did not reject Boaz. But so many people have rejected Jesus Christ. And I know I'm preaching to mostly Christians this morning. I'm going to say that he has purchased you, your body and your spirit. He's purchased you unto good works. He's purchased you unto a plan to conform you to the image of his dear son. And I want to say that a lot of Christians have come to a point where they forgot that they was redeemed, where they forgot who they belonged to, where they forgot the joy of reception. They forgot the joy of salvation. They forgot the joy of redemption. They forgot the responsibilities of redemption. They forgot how good God is. And now God is that person that stops them from having any fun. God help us. In 1 John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, we start out, and we're looking at this, and we've got Ruth, the foreign Moabitess, and she's coming back with Naomi. And then Naomi says, if I had a son tonight, it's not hope for you. You'd you stay and wait for him? And Ruth says, I'm not leaving you ever. And then they come back, and they start gleaning in the field of Boaz. And Naomi goes, Boaz is our near kinsman. There is hope here. And he is nice to Ruth, and they're encouraged, and they come home, and they're all talking up and chattering about Boaz and everything. And then she goes, and she makes a understanding, Boaz, you're our near kinsman. And Boaz is like, God bless you, I never thought of that. He says, there's a near kinsman, but if he won't take you, or he won't redeem you, I will. You don't think that was a good promise and a good understanding, and it was helpful and it was a blessing? And then Ruth goes home to wait. Wow. And Boaz goes to the gate of the city, and this guy says, I'll take her. I'll take the land. He says, well, you got to take Ruth and Boaz. She goes, oh, I can't do that. I want you to know what a burden and what it was placed on Boaz. But I want you to see the parallel of what a burden God took upon himself for you. How he loved you and how he cared about you. You know, he took every part of the burden. He gave his son to purchase salvation so that he could give it to you. What will you do with your salvation? What will you do with your salvation? Where will this story end? Does Boaz and Ruth learn how to, you know, if she's a nagger and he calls her the ball and chain, and they kind of endure and agonize through marriage and wish that they wouldn't have done this, and why was I thinking? And oh, that's horrible, Pastor. You're just such a killjoy. Oh, where will our relationship with Christ be? Are you sorry you received Christ? Are you sorry for your obligations inside Christianity? Or will you give yourself to God, your body and your spirit? Say, God, I belong to you.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.